Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Melanie. Welcome to What You Next podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am an author of contemporary romance and romantic comedies, and I live in the Chicagoland area. I've pretty much lived here my entire life, moved within about an hour of, you know, any direction. I've lived within an hour of where I'm currently at. So my books often are set in this area, in this kind of area between Chicago and Milwaukee. And I am a former high school English and theater teacher. Mm-hmm. And a mom of two redheads and the wife of a kind of nerdy video game guy.
I love this. So what made you start writing romance?
I've been a long time romance reader. I've been reading romance long before it was probably okay. Like, I think I was 10 when I picked up my first Joanna Lindsay. And that was while I was...
Oh my God.
It was a different time. I was babysitting. And also, you know, when you're babysitting at 10 is also something that is probably not done too often anymore. And I was babysitting for a family down the street from me, and the kids had gone to bed, and this book was sitting on the coffee table, and I picked it up and I could not put it down. I was like, what is this? So I went from, you know, Nancy Drew's and Sweet Valley High to Joanna Lindsay.
Oh my God.
I still remember there was one librarian at my local library who used to give me the worst stink eye when I would go up with this big stack. Like, I would actually start to wait till she wasn't at the counter, because they didn't have self-checkout back then. This was
like, are you old enough for Joanna Lindsay?
Yeah, like, I mean, come on, like, the kid's reading, let her read.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I read most of my childhood. I started Babysitter's Club, some Nancy Drew, because that's what my grandma used to read. And so I read some of her Nancy Drew's. And then I graduated Sweet Valley High, and I spent most of my teenage years from Sweet Valley High. I didn't discover romance until 2016. Like, I read some popular romance, but it was like later on. Like, I didn't realize, I was like, this is what I've been looking for, you know?
Yeah, I was always in a hurry to grow up, I think. So, you know, yeah, with Joanna Lindsay, Catherine Coulter, Jude Devereaux, those were all the early ones that I kind of gobbled up.
Do you still read historical, or are you gravitating contemporary?
I think I still, for pleasure reading, I often do still kind of lean toward historical. It depends. Actually, if I think about most of the titles that I've currently been reading, it's been a lot more contemporary. But I did finally start Tessa Dare, because I had never read Tessa Dare. And a lot of people whose opinions I value love her. So I started reading Tessa. And I did read Evie Dunmore. I thought her book, her debut, was amazing. So, you know, kind of a little bit of everything. My all-time favorite romances are historical. I love Laura Kinsale. So she's
on my TBR. So if you like Tessa, I would say try Lenora Bell. She writes.
Oh, yeah, I love Lenora as a person. We've met multiple times. I don't know if it's the redhead connection. You instantly find a soulmate, but
yes, I'm like a huge fan of her work. Like, I'm like, people are like, love Tessa. I'm like, read Lenora Bell. Like,
she's on my TBR for sure. I love the cover where the field of daisies or whatever, that cover's gorgeous. And there's also the one that's supposed to be almost like a Mary Poppins retelling.
I think there's a Mary Poppins retelling. There's a Bachelor retelling of like a Bachelor. So
she's definitely on my radar as far as like to read, as well as like, you know, she's a fantastic person and her books are on the list.
That's awesome. So let's see. Let's talk about your latest release, Too Good to Be Real. Like, what's the elevator pitch and what should readers expect from it?
So elevator pitch is pretty easy. It is the Austin Land for rom-com lovers. And what this means, if you don't know what Austin Land is a book that was turned into a movie about a resort, an estate that you can go to kind of immerse yourself in the world of Jane Austen. Mm-hmm. So for people who are huge fans of all things Austen, they go there and get to kind of basically live like they're inside an Austen book. In Too Good to Be Real, you have a resort that allows you to have an immersive experience that is like you're living in a rom-com. You become a character in a romantic comedy, basically.
So how much fun did you have writing this book? Or was
it was a lot of fun. Like, this book was written in the pandemic. It was very much a escape for me. I let myself get as bananas and over the top and silly as I wanted to be. There is a lot of Easter eggs. So there's some obvious blatant discussion of rom-com movies. And then there's also some more subtle bits that people who know and love rom-coms will pick up on them and will kind of be like, oh, I know what she's doing there.
So did you watch a lot of rom-coms just to get yourself immersed in them?
So there obviously is, you know, quite a few that I've watched and loved, but I did have to go back there. Once I started making a list, I realized how many I hadn't seen. Like, I still have a very long list of rom-coms that I need to see, and I'm slowly working through them. But one of the things that I was doing was, like, I was kind of aware of certain things that you see over and over again in rom-coms. Like, for example, paintball is an odd thing that pops up in a lot of rom-coms, books and movies. Mm-hmm. And so I did searches, you know, rom-coms with paintball, and the ones that I knew of popped up, but then there were others that popped up that I'd never seen.
You know, what other tropes did you discover that are like rom-com-y tropes?
There are things that you see all the time happening in books over and over again. There's obviously the collision, the meet by collision, you know, the juice spill in Notting Hill, the Jennifer Lopez who gets her heel stuck in the street and the car coming at her and he runs to save her. And so a lot of those kind of collisions, bumpings, making out in elevators. happens. So yeah, so just lots of fun with those kinds of things and seeing where it keeps popping up. And then there's also like these immersive experiences. So the first night that they're there at the resort, they serve a dinner that is basically a recreation of a meal from When Harry Met Sally.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And they recreate a few other things from that movie as well that night.
Oh my God. I feel like just like a rom-com lover. Like, you, if you love the rom-coms, like, this is a good homage for that. Like,
yeah. It is very much an escape. It is just like kind of an indulgence, like just immerse yourself in it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love this. So tell me about a couple of books you have read this past year that you recommend.
So I'm currently reading, and if you, it's kind of funny because there's some similar things happening in Alexandra Balfour's Hang the Moon.
Yeah. So
it is, the hero is the lover of rom-coms, and he decides to prove to this girl that he's kind of been secretly in love with, you know, because it's his sister's best friend, you know, he's going to prove to her that love is real, because she's kind of like, no, it's nobody really, nobody has time for actual love. Nobody wants. So he's going to try and convince her by setting up a bunch of dates based off of famous romantic comedies. So he's a huge lover of Nora Ephron and Hugh Grant. And so it was kind of fun to see her take us, not the same concept, but similar themes and play with them too. So I'm reading that right now, and that's a lot of fun. And I just, I finally read the first book in Talia Hibbert's Brown Sisters series, mm-hmm. and that was a lot of fun. So I read the Get a Life, Chloe Brown, and that was super cute. And it was so like character driven. That was a fantastic book with some really great characters.
Yeah, I would suggest like the rest of the series gets better and better. Like, I don't know how she tops it off, but she gets like, it just gets better.
Oh yeah, I'm planning to read the rest of it, no question.
it's even better. Like the second book, the hero loves romance novels, so he listens to them. And mm-hmm. so there's like a really grand gesture around romance novels and like a whole toxic masculinity. And in the third book, she Eve basically drives off, like basically hits that's the collision with the the hero. Like she
runs him over. The hook. So he's an innkeeper. He's like a grumpy innkeeper. And like, and even the hints you've gotten of her sisters in the first book, you know, Eve is kind of this very, you know, flighty, live in the moment. And you could just see already that those two opposites attract. Yeah. Yeah, the third book is going to be my favorite, but I'm sure I'll enjoy the second one too.
I love this. So you mentioned that you wrote this book during a pandemic. What was the process like for you? Like, yeah, it was an escape. That's true. But like, how do you manage to get through it? You know,
it was very difficult, actually. So this book was the most difficult for me to write in the sense of not just of finding that creative mojo, of like finding that kind of, everything was depressing and difficult. And my entire family was here 24/7, my husband on remote work, my daughter's on remote school, and dealing with all of that as well. So just figuring all that out and that kind of emotional and mental load made it very difficult to write. So this book was, it took a long time to get through and to kind of find the rhythm of it. And I had my editor is very understanding. I think we were all going through the same kind of things at the same time. So I jokingly, in my acknowledgments of this book, call it the murder book because I found like it was trying to kill me. I actually came down with stress-induced shingles while writing this book.
Oh my gosh.
Which I didn't think was something you could get at my age, but apparently you can get it at any age. It's not like a, you know, only past a certain point. And yeah, that was lots of fun to have to go to the emergency room during it was still in the early days of everything. So people were still figuring out what was safe and wasn't safe. And, but it was to the point where I was in so much pain and we didn't know what it was that I had to go. So yes, this book tried to kill me, but I got through it.
You got through it. And a year later, as the world emerges, this book emerges.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. So writing this, you know, there's a lot of discussion about, do you include things that are happening right now? Do you have characters at a resort just interacting like life is normal? And I had a conversation with my editor about this early on, and we both decided, and I think that's pretty much been the decision across the board for everybody, to like, this is fiction. It is happening in an alternate universe where all of this stuff doesn't exist. And at the time, we didn't know how long this would go on. Like the idea of a vaccine coming as quickly as it did was not something we thought back in March, April of last year of 2020. So it was, you know, I'm like, me personally, I didn't want to kind of dwell in that. So it was kind of nice to go into this other place where it was more normal. So but that was a concern. And like you said, we're kind of emerging from things now. Things are slowly starting to, you know, transition back into what we're more used to. So if anything, it was a good thing not to include those things, because it would lock it in so tightly to a specific moment in time.
Yeah, I like the idea of being an alternate universe where we didn't experience a year of cocoon, you know?
Exactly right. Like, and in some ways, it's so weird that 2020 is going to feel like this weird, like, almost Narnia moment. You know what I mean? Like, we kind of in and out of that wardrobe. Not as much fun.
No, I feel like it's just like a weird, like, and I think it's like, you know, we have gone through, like, it's just like 9/11, same thing. Like, I feel like we just don't talk about it. We acknowledge it happens, but we don't see it in fiction as like, you know,
I think there's a lot of trauma wrapped up in it that people need to process. Like, a lot of people lost loved ones. A lot of people, you know, I'm the healthcare workers and the stress that they have been under for so long. My sister-in-law is a nurse practitioner. So, you know, when this was first starting, we were scrambling through our house trying to find her any kind of masks we could find, because there was nothing available. And so, like, we found, like, you know, masks you use for drywall stuff, just giving her anything we could give her, because they had nothing.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's an interesting time. Like, that's what I can tell.
Right, like, you know, do not like wish anyone to live in times.
It's so I'm just like,
like this so wonderful is to have those escapes and romance for sure has been beyond writing them, reading them has been an escape for me as well, for sure.
Yeah, I think reading was like the biggest escape for me. Like it just, I was in an alternate universe where I was like, nothing was like happening. I was like seeing, like I was like exploring a city. Like I traveled through books, like
yes.
Like the bread and butter of like what was getting me the escape. So yeah.
Definitely. Yes. Well, especially when with travel being so impossible that armchair tourism becomes like even more important.
I love this. So tell us where you can find you online.
So I'm pretty easy to find thanks to the spelling of my name. Thank you, Mom. So I'm Melanie, M-E-L-O-N-I-E, which is not the most traditional spelling. So Melanie Johnson, pretty much anywhere online, it's either going to be me or this woman who runs a casino. So I'm not the casino owner. But yeah, MelanieJohnson.com, Melanie Johnson on Twitter, Melanie Johnson on Instagram. You'll find me. I also hashtag the Writing Lush. That's kind of brand books and booze.
And you do some books and booze happy hours with Love Sweet Arrow.
Yes, yeah, so Love Sweet Arrow, the romance bookstore. I'm one of three of the boozy book broads, we call ourselves. And we run a monthly chat the third Friday of every month where we bring in an author. Actually, Alexandria Belflor is our next author. She's coming on June 18th to talk. And we let them pick a featured cocktail. Alexandria's is the Flirtini, which sounds delicious.
Delicious.
And we talk books and we talk, we drink cocktails. And it started as being a fun night out in. It became like this really fun thing to look forward to as a virtual event when you couldn't go out and hang out with your friends. You could hang out online and have a drink and talk books. And it felt like a night out without ever leaving your house. Mm-hmm. So it's been a really great escape and we plan to continue it. We're booked all the way through the rest of this year and we will continue into 2022. We may cut back on how often we do it because as the world opens up again, but we're the Boozy Book Broads. It's been wonderful. It's been a lot of fun.
I love watching it. So thank you for doing it. So thank you, Melanie, for being on the show.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. Thanks, Laura.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.